time for jazz within the groove, jazz and beyond. We're going to start out with the Curtis Brothers, who performed here in Hartford on Monday night at Black Eyed Sally's. So let's get with this. The Curtis Brothers, Manifest Destiny.
Thank you.
That's the Curtis Brothers from their most recent release, Completion of Proof. And we heard Manifest Destiny. That's a great group. Curtis Brothers are Zakai Curtis on piano and Lucas Curtis on bass. And they are joined by some great players there, such as Brian Lynch on trumpet, Donald Harrison and Joe Ford on sax, and drummer Ralph Peterson. And there's other great guest artists on that album as well, including Jimmy Green. All right, time now is 5:10. This is WHUS, Storrs, Connecticut, 91.7 FM, Radio for the People. And the Curtis Brothers, Zakai Curtis and friends, let's say, were at Black Eyed Sally's last Monday for a benefit concert. And a really great show. It turned into a really fine jam session. Lots of great Latin jazz artists from around town and elsewhere. And also live here in the Hartford area, last night was a great show at the Polish National Home, a show that was put on by the Hartford Jazz Society. And a featured artist was J.D. Allen, that great tenor sax player. And he put on a very intense show and played for quite a while. It was a really fine evening. So we're going to hear a little bit from J.D. Allen, starting out with his trio album called Shine. We're going to hear a track called Sunhouse.
We'll be right back. Thank you.
J.D. Allen from his album Grace, and we heard a track called Selah, and that was J.D. Allen, of course, on tenor sax, Eldar Jangaroff on piano, strange pairing there, Dezron Douglas on bass, and Jonathan Barber on drums, and we started out with a track from a trio album, Shine. I think J.D. Allen's best known for his trio work with Greg August and Rudy Royston. And we heard a track called Sunhouse. All right, let's see. We're going to get on with some more music. Dave Liebman, the great tenor and soprano sax player, has a brand new album out. The album's called Samsara. And we are going to hear a Thelonious Monk composition. This one's called Ugly Beauty.
Thank you.
Dave Liebman, a brand new release from Dave. Name of the album is called Samsara, and that's with a new project that Dave Liebman is touring with called Expansions, and that's Dave Liebman on soprano sax, Bobby Avey on piano, Matt Vashlishin on alto sax, flute, and clarinet. We heard a little of that clarinet there. Longtime collaborator with Dave Liebman is Tony Marino on bass and Alex Ritz on drums. And as I said, that was a Thelonious Monk composition, Ugly Beauty. All right, time now is 5:29. This is In the Groove, Jazz and Beyond. We have a special guest who will be calling in a few minutes. Noah Preminger will be calling in. He's got a show coming up next week at the Side Door. So we're going to talk about that and some other stuff. But first, let's hear a track from Noah Preminger from his album Before the Rain. This is called Quickening. Thank you. Street. That's Noah Preminger from the album After the Rain. And we heard the track Quickening, a Frank Kimbrough composition. And we've got Noah Preminger on the air. At least I hope we do. Noah, are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing?
All right. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. Before the rain.
Before the rain. Of course, I said After the Rain, which is the John Coltrane great.
Easily interchangeable.
But that song, Noah, that song always kind of has the feel of a one of those early Keith Jarrett compositions with his quartet, his early quartet with Dewey Redman on tenor sax. Was it meant to have that kind of feel?
Frank Kimbrough wrote it, and he played a couple gigs with Dewey Redman.
Really?
I'm pretty sure he, you know, wrote it as sort of a dedication piece to Dewey.
Okay.
That's spot on. I'm pretty sure that's what that was written for.
Yeah. You definitely gave it that feel on tenor saxophone.
Right.
And Frank's going to be with you, isn't he, on your gig here coming up at the Side Door next Saturday, right?
Yes. Kimbrough's playing piano. It's been a while. I went through my guitar phase writing music for Ben Maunder in my band for the past few years. And I decided that I would go back to the piano for this one at least.
You and Frank kind of have a history together and have a great great empathy for each other's playing, don't you think?
Yeah, I think we mesh well. And he was on my first two albums.
Yeah.
And I guess we've been playing together for, it's been like 10 years.
Yeah.
Eight years, six years.
Something like that.
Long enough. Not long enough.
Yeah. So, and who else are you bringing with you? It's going to be a quartet?
It's going to be a quartet. It's going to be Billy Drummond on drums.
Great.
And Ed Howard on the bass.
Uh-huh.
And Frankie on the piano.
Yeah.
That'll be good. I've done some playing with Billy in different situations. I don't know if he's ever played my music before. But we've definitely played a number of times. And
I think Billy's going to be great with your band. I love Billy Drummond's playing. Yeah.
And he's played for a long time together with Ed Howard and Kimbrough. But I know that Billy and Ed play frequently together. So Ed is I think we've only played one gig before. We played more golf together than we have played music together. But
I don't think I've heard. That name's not familiar with me. I don't think I've heard Ed Howard's bass.
Well, Ed, he played in Roy Haynes' band for about 10 or 15 years, and then now he plays in Karin Allison's band.
Okay.
And a number of other people. He's great, really great bass player. And so I think that trio, that rhythm section is going to be great together.
Have you put together a playlist yet?
I've been thinking about it. I've been writing some new music for a project that's sort of in the works. And we might play some of that if I can get it ready in time. We'll probably play a couple old Preminger tunes, of Kimbrough's tunes. Maybe we'll play Quickening.
Yeah.
As you just heard, a tune's a lot of fun to play. Maybe we'll play November. I recorded Kimbrough's November on my second record.
Yep, and it's on his latest release as well.
on his latest release. So that's getting a lot of play. I don't know. We'll see. I think it would just be fun to hit, just play some tunes, high energy stuff. It'll be fun.
And it's a great venue out in Old Lyme, Connecticut, the Side Door. Claire and I frequent there often. It's a great, I think it's a great club. The sound's great. It's a really intimate, close setting. And
they really have done it right.
Yeah.
Which most places, they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, they take care of the band in every way possible. They take care of the audience. They got great food at the place. They got a bar. The room is very It looks nice.
Yeah.
It feels good. I mean, the whole thing is pleasant.
Yeah, yeah. I hope it lasts. He's been going on for a year and a half or so. This will be your second appearance there?
As a leader, yeah. I did another gig there with Rob Garcia's band.
Oh, right, right.
So I guess this is my third time playing there.
Yeah, yeah, good. We definitely look forward to that. So let's see, it's November 1st, which is next Saturday.
Yeah, a week. I'm in about a week.
Right. So right after our show next week, Claire and I will head down there. Maybe we'll bring some friends with us, and hopefully it'll be a packed house, and they'll enjoy your Noah Preminger Quartet.
I hope so.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a question about Boston. You've recently moved to Boston.
Yes.
To pursue your postgraduate degree?
Yeah. It's funny you bring that up. So I did my undergrad at New England Conservatory, and then I moved to New York the day after graduation to get out of here. I couldn't stand Boston, and so I got out of here as fast as I could and moved down to New York for about 6-7 years. The time came where I was looking for a teaching job. I only had an undergrad degree, and I was offered a teaching job in Spain, in Barcelona, which sounds really nice and everything.
Yeah.
So it was either between teaching at this university in Barcelona or going back to get a graduate degree here.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the decision to stay and get a degree while living in Barcelona and teaching at a college doesn't sound like the worst thing in the world.
Right.
I there were things I wanted to work on with my own composing and just my own thing. Things I needed to develop. And I felt like if I moved over to Europe, I might not be able to leave the beach. So, I thought that it would be a good idea. And New England Conservatory of Music is a great institution, and they also let me do some teaching. And it's nice just to be out in New York for a little while. I live just outside of Boston, and I can, breathe nice air. And it's relaxing, I have to say. And I'm only a few hours from New York, so last weekend I was playing in, this past week I was playing in New York, weekend before that I was playing.
Yeah.
So I've been going down,
So while you couldn't wait to get out of Boston the first time around, it sounds like you're digging being there now, right?
I love it, man. I'm so much happier. It's amazing.
What I wanted to ask you about was whether, what the differences are in the music scene, the cats that you're playing with in Boston as opposed to New York, the level of musicianship, and also the audiences. So can you comment on the differences between New York and Boston? They're such different cities. So I want to hear more about what the music scene is like.
It's very strange because, in New York, you have the best musicians in the world.
Yeah.
It's like the mecca of jazz.
Right.
So you have 50 people on every single instrument that you could call for a gig, and they're all amazing.
Yeah.
You don't have that anywhere else. There's great musicians in Chicago and LA and London, Paris, Barcelona. I mean, many different cities, but New York is sort of the jazz mecca, I guess you could say. So in terms of that, in regards to musicianship, you can't touch New York, but there are great musicians everywhere. And in regards to places to play, there's a lot of places to play in New York, but there's also a million gazillion musicians who want to play there. So,
You think there's less competition for gigs in Boston?
Not necessarily, because you have a million students and there's fewer clubs. It's a smaller city. In Boston, in terms of the audience, it's very similar. I mean, for places to play, you have Regatta Bar, which I played at last night.
Yeah.
and you have Scullers, and you have Ryles, are like the three jazz clubs, right. I guess you could say. And then you have the Beehive right. and the Beat Hotel, which they just recently opened the past year or two. And which, I mean, the Beehive and the Beat Hotel have jazz every day. Probably even more jazz than the other venues.
Yeah.
And Scullers and Regatta Bar are sort of like the Blue Note, Birdland kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah.
It's very, they're sort of, there's no public transportation near them. And it's expensive.
Right.
I mean, they get great musicians to play. They also get, you know, like your more mainstream people like the Chris Bodies and the Tower of Powers and the
yeah.
New York Voices. So you have that to compete with. And the audience is, you know, they're all tourists pretty much. So it's similar to the New York, like a
yeah.
Birdland kind of a scene.
Yeah.
But, and then you have the Beehive, which in the Beat Hotel. So, Wally's. I forgot about Wally's Jazz Club, too. Okay, for example, last night I played at Regatta Bar.
Yeah.
And then I hopped on my scooter and flew to Wally's. And then this morning I played a brunch gig at the Beehive.
Nice.
And then tonight I'm playing again at Wally's.
Yeah.
So that sort of touches all the.
Yeah,
different kinds of clubs in Boston.
Wally's
is like a Wally's is a homegrown thing. It's a little touristy, but people come and hang out.
It's
loud, but I mean, you've seen it.
It's a small dive bar kind of
it's
place.
It's a dive bar. It's like the
students hang there.
It's equivalent. I would say it's pretty similar to Fat Cat in New York City.
Right, right.
Nobody really listens too much, but some people are really listening, and it's loud.
Yeah.
But it's sort of a fun scene,
yeah.
And Scullers is like one of those corporate-ish kind of places.
Right.
I'm sorry, Regatta Bar, where I played last night. A little more corporate feeling. You know, they don't really have like any art on the walls or anything. And then
there's you didn't mention Lily Pad. Lily Pad's kind of a hip,
oh, that's right.
hip underground kind of place.
Yeah, it's sort of a it's like a pay to play kind of a thing. So, but they just put a bar in there, which is nice.
Yeah.
So it makes it more of a feeling like a jazz club rather than just a room.
And you've got Bergonzi and Garzone, who are just incredible, great musicians. Are they still there Monday nights?
Jerry Bergonzi plays usually the first set, and then Garzone and his fringe band play the later set, which is pretty great. And last month, Lovano and Garzone and Bergonzi, and we're playing over there at the Lily Pad. And then the next night, Frank Tiberi and George Garzone and Joe Lovano played at the Beehive.
It was incredible. It was incredible. We hung there together
and
checked
out.
That out. That was great.
So
the Boston jazz scene, I kind of never really knew about anything other than Scullers and Regatta Bar until recently, and now I'm getting hip to all the great things that are going on in the Boston area, and you're there too, so that's great too.
Yeah, it's fun, and the musicians, I mean, I've been playing a lot of weekends with Jason Palmer, who's an amazing trumpeter, and with a piano player named Luke Morantz, who's really fantastic, and Lee Fish is a drummer in that band, who's also really great, as well as Dan Carpell, who plays bass, and so I've been playing a lot with those guys, and as well as a lot of other musicians up here who really sound great and are inspiring to play with, which I was praying that would be the case, just because, I mean, we got John Lockwood, amazing bass player, and then you have a lot of musicians who teach up here and travel up from New York every week, so there's always a lot of people who are in and out. Opportunities to play with great musicians.
Next Saturday night, November 1st, in Olime, Connecticut, at the Side Door Jazz Club.
Yes.
Which is attached to the Olime Inn. to hear Noah Preminger's quartet. I look forward to it.
Very close to New York. It's in Connecticut, not so far from Boston, so everyone can come hang. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay.
Fun gig.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. It's good talking to you again.
You too, Ken. Thanks.
And definitely see you Saturday night. We're going to continue on with some tunes from your latest album. I'm going to play 15,000, and we're going to follow that up with Tomorrow. Anything you want to say about those tracks? 15,000, what inspired that track?
Yeah, that was about the first time I went skydiving in New Zealand.
So it's 15,000 feet in the air, I suppose?
Yeah, they let you jump at 15,000 feet, which is cool. And it was beautiful jumping into glaciers and lakes and grass meadows. Yeah. Very pretty and memorable, obviously. And then Tomorrow, I had this little 5 or 6 year old girl piano student who wanted me to teach her Tomorrow, and so we were playing on the piano together, and I realized, wow, this would be really awesome to record.
That's from that is the Tomorrow from what's
from
her name?
Annie,
yeah, little orphan Annie.
So that was the inspiration for that, and it's been fun to play.
Yeah. Okay, so that's it. Everybody come on down to the Side Door Cafe on November 1st. All right, thanks,
cool.
Noah.
Thank you, Ken.
All right, take care. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Noah Preminger from his latest release entitled Haymaker. And we heard three numbers from that one. We started out that set with 15,000. And that was followed by a couple rather odd choices for covers, let's say. First, we heard Tomorrow from the Broadway musical Annie. And that was Noah Preminger's unique rendition of that one, which really shows off his fat tenor saxophone sound, that large, breathy tenor saxophone sound in the way that Noah does ballads, which I think he would agree is kind of his specialty, Tomorrow. And that followed by another cover, this a Dave Matthews original, Don't Drink the Water. And on that one, Noah Preminger and his quartet really rock out on it. Really nice cover of a DMB classic, let's say. That quartet that recorded on the album Haymaker, which was released on Palmetto Records in 2013, was Noah Preminger on tenor sax, Ben Monder on electric guitar, Matt Pavoca on bass, and Colin Stranahan on drums. And Colin was really kicking that one, that last track you heard, rocking out on it. Yeah, Noah Preminger, and as mentioned several times, but I'll say it once more, he's playing at the Side Door Jazz Club in Old Lyme, Connecticut on November 1st. The day before that is Yosavni Terry. It's going to be there, another great sax player from Cuba, I believe. So great things happening at the Side Door Jazz Club in Old Lyme, Connecticut. So check that out. All right, we're going to continue on now with some more tenor sax playing. This one from John Coltrane. This is 26-2. We'll be right back. Started with John Coltrane himself from the album Coltrane Sound. with 26-2. That was followed by Ed Thigpen's The Element of Swing and a John Coltrane composition, Lonnie's Lament. All right, that was Ed Thigpen on drums, Jesper Bodilson on bass, and Karsten Dahl on piano, with special guest Joe Lovano on tenor saxophone. And we heard from Joe Lovano himself after that from a track called Consummation from Joe Lovano's album Joyous Encounter. That one features another late great artist. His name's Hank Jones on piano. And Hank Jones wrote that track along with George Emraz on bass, Paul Motion on drums, and as I mentioned, Joe Lovano on saxophone. All right, time now is 6:38 here on In the Groove, Jazz and Beyond. Hope you're digging the show. We're going to continue on with a set now featuring Earl MacDonald from his album Mirror of the Mind. And we're going to hear the title track from that.